very important for us to understand is that we all have within us an already perfect side, our spiritual side, but we have also in us a side which is very much human and struggling with various things. And we as the human being are in between these two, you could say, poles. And sometimes it's easy for us to live. At other times, it is difficult. For instance, I know that two young men in our community have been struck severely by the God of love. Now they have to see. There's the spiritual considerations, but then there is also one's nature. And sometimes now a wise decision has to be made. Huh? Or I remember one time in our community, one of our members started to drink beer like he did in the old times. And he knew this was not in a very much accepted practice in our community. But his nature became so strong that it pulled him in this direction. I think we know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's very, very easy to deal with our conditioned nature. In fact, they very, very much support our spiritual development. But at other times, our conditioned nature is full of impulses born out of the material energy, and it's really not so easy to deal with them. And at that time, understanding is necessary, compassion is naturally, and maybe also support, so that we can move through this time when we are in tension and when it's not 100% clear what is best for us to do at this moment. I learned about this principle very early in my life, but only much later as I became older in Krishna consciousness, and I learned how to solve this dilemma. But that it is a problem, I learned dass es zur Spannung führt, that I learned when I was very, very young. And I want to tell you about it because it's so human and it's so useful and it helps all of us, hopefully, to deal when attention between our spiritual nature and our conditioned nature happens in our life. As many of you knew, I grew up on an island between Germany and Denmark. It's the island of Fehmarn. It's a beautiful, beautiful island, and Madhusudan and Gokrishna have seen this island with me recently when I visited my parents, who have a very small and humble holiday hut, we call it, there. I lived at that time in the capital town called Burg auf Fehmarn. I spent most of my childhood and some of my youth there. And As I told you earlier, I had a passion for climbing high trees. So one day I had come back from the climb. I came down. It was in the park, which was before our house. And I wanted to go home and eat something, see if something was there. And I came by a bench on which my most influential teacher in my childhood was sleeping. His name was Fritz Monarch. He was a professor of the philosophical faculty of Hamburg, who somehow had developed a great attachment for drinking alcohol, and who was subsequently fired from the university because he would come drunken into the university, and who now lived on this island of Fehmarn the life of a homeless person. Whenever winter came, he stole a bicycle. Maybe he would have stolen the white bicycle of Damodar Priya because it's really attractive. And then he would not hide it much. The police easily found him, and then they would throw him into the prison, which was heated in the winter, and he would then stay up till spring. And when the sun would come out, Fritz Monarch, that was the name, would be again on the streets and sleeping on the park benches and so on. He was a very nice person, but he was hopelessly addicted to alcohol. So my friend was sleeping there. I was coming down from the tree, and I wanted to pass him without being noticed by him, because he would always engage me in philosophical discussions, and I was very hungry. So I tiptoed by the bench. And when I thought I had escaped Fritz Monarch, I heard his voice. Wait. So I returned. And he said, I have a question for you. Who created man, God or the devil? I said, of course, God. And he went, not sure. Sit with me on the bench. I must tell you a story. Stories I liked. Like Vaishnava Prabhu, who also appreciates a good story, I was always ready for a good story. So I sat down and he said, see, when the devil left the kingdom of God, he felt lonely. And he thought, there's too much work for one person to do. I need an assistant. Ich brauche einen Helfer. So he took some mud, maybe like this, mud or clay, and he started to form a human being. But no matter how much he tried, he couldn't give him a face, and he couldn't give him life. At that time, a mouse came by. It had wings. It was a flying mouse. At that time, Fritz Monarch told me, all mice could fly. But at the end of my story, something happened to them. Oh, wow, this is fascinating. Flying mice and a devil who tries to create a human being. Wow. So he said, the mouse said, there's only one person and one person only who can give the human being his face and life, and that is God. You can't do this. Yes, said the devil, I'm trying, but it doesn't work. Let me try some more. You will never be able to do it, but I can help you. Saying this, the flying mouse flew to heavens and entered the bathroom of God. God had just finished his morning toilet. He was just taking a towel and wiping with the towel the dew heißt Tautropfen, from his face, just going like this. And at the end, he gave into the towel a good hachi, and then put the towel away and left the bathroom. The flying mouse had what he wanted. He took the towel and flew with it down to the place where the devil was trying to give his creation a face and a life. He said, here, take this towel and put it around the head of your creature. The devil said, what is it? It's a magical towel. It has the life of God and the face of God. Oh, so he put it around the face of the human being, and when he took the towel off, took the towel away, the human had a face, and he started to speak. Oh, he said, to whom do I belong? The devil said to me, I made you. But God, who knows everything, didn't like that. He came to the place and said, that's not true. You made half of the human being, but the face and the life is from me. He belongs half to you and half to me. Then Fritz Monarch said, that is the reason why we are so conflicted as human beings. Why there are these two sides in us, and they always fight with each other. In Krishna consciousness, we say our conditional nature, referring to the material parts of our body and mind. And we say our original constitutional nature, that is who we are as souls, servants of Krishna. There's a conflict. And then Fritz Monarch looked at me and he said, I temporarily lost the fight. I'm a slave of wine and alcohol. But you should never do what I did. You should always choose the divine side. And when you are advanced, come back to me and help me to also choose the right side. He said like this. He was a very wise man. I said, wow, but what happened to the mouse? You said something changed with the mouse. And he said, well, God didn't like what the mouse did. And for that reason, all the mice from that time lost their wings.
there's only one species, die Fledermäuse. Bats. But they have to fly in the night when they cannot see anything. I said, they can see anything. That's not the point. This one I said. It is very interesting that before my very good friend Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj left his body, he came to me, and he said, there are two sides in us, Satchidananda Swami. They are like two dogs who fight in our heart. Who will win? And I said, I don't know. And he said, that side will win whom you give food, whom you nourish, whom you take care, which you take care of with spiritual nourishment. That will win. If you do the things which are done in your conditioned nature, your conditioned nature will become stronger. But if you do those things which nourish your spiritual side, it is the spiritual side which will become stronger. When you fight, when you find yourself in a conflict between your spiritual side and your material side, it may be very easy to come out of this conflict. If you decide to nourish that side in you which you wish to be victorious, do you wish that your material side becomes stronger than your spiritual side? I think as devotees we don't really feel this should be done. Or do you wish to nourish your Krishna conscious side and make that stronger? When you're next time in a conflict, maybe with someone else, not just with yourself, you might like to ask yourself the question, how do I solve this conflict from the spiritual level, from being a soul, an eternal part of Krishna? What would be the best solution from that perspective? That will be very useful as a thing. But unfortunately or fortunately, things are not always black and white or are not always so clear to us. And therefore we need to approach this question of inner conflict in a somewhat more mature side, a side which I have learned later in Krishna consciousness. When there is some desire in us where we feel, I wish this desire wouldn't be there, but it is there. And most probably, if I don't take care of it, I will not sleep in peace. So better I quickly take care of it, quickly fulfill it, and then I have my peace back. There are such situations. There are other situations which are borderline situations, which are even more complex because they lead really to conflicting emotions, I should say. What I have found out in my life, there are some desires which come and go very quickly, very much like the itching sensation. If you feel a strong itch and you let it be, then after some time,
the itching sensation goes. Who has made this experience? But if you go and dig with your nails into it, you feel so pleased with you. Wow, this was a very good solution here. Es regnet nicht rein, Frank. Also du schaust deswegen noch nicht. Meinst du, es ist besser, man macht zu? Oder? Ja, ist so angenehm kühl. Wir sind ja mitten im Wald hier. Also, you go like, and it's so nice. Oh, it's so pleasing. And you feel like, wow, this is the greatest. Oh, but then, oops, it's back again. Only now the itching spot is bigger. Okay, I have my nails, no problem. And in the first minute, oh, it's really good. But then it comes back double as strong. And before you know, this is full of blood and you have spread the itching sensation. It's now as big as a 5-Mark-Stück. You know, there are no 5-Mark coins any longer available. It is the size of Gokrishna's sika. You know, and you spread it. And you think, oh, if I just would have left it. There was no itching here before. And here also not. And now, the problem is spread. This is a lot. Material desires have this quality. You try to take care of them, and it becomes a mess in the end. Your whole life becomes a mess. All of a sudden, you're surrounded with complicated things which you never planned and which you never wanted in the first place. So therefore, in psychology, they say tolerate something, a thought, for 10 minutes. And if it goes away, it's a thought you didn't need to act upon. It came and go. It arose and go. I would say make it a little longer this time than 10 minutes. Because we live at Kali Yuga, but then what if there are desires which are persistent? Well, you should see how you can fulfill these desires in a way that they don't create a problem for your original and most strongest goal in life, your Krishna conscious life. There are things which you can do, which are really, for instance, about there are different things, you know. There's, for instance, Grihastha ashram is there, but there are other desires. Maybe you want to see something different, and you want to, your mind needs another outlet. It needs to, then there are things which you can do in order to relax a little, which doesn't create a problem to your original goal to become Krishna conscious. The Bhagavatam says about this method that from time to time, the yogi who wants to make advancement has to be a little bit lenient with his mind. And the Bhagavatam gives us the example of a horse. When the horse wants to run, and you have a horse, you need to give this horse a little bit the reins, it is said. You let it run freely. Let it spend its energy. Let it have its will and go left and right according to
its own desire. But then after some time, you should be able, it's called in English, to rein in the horse, that is, to bring the horse back to you. No? So in some ways there are things allowed in Krishna consciousness which you can do to let the mind go somewhere. For instance, it is said swimming is a good way. Swimming, what else? Wrestling. I used to have so much energy, much more than now, and I used to regularly wrestle. Sometimes it was so bad, I couldn't allow myself defeated. I landed in the hospital in Krishna consciousness. I still remember. Now, these were the wild days of a wild horse. Krishna. But really the best advice and the best tip and the greatest help which is there is to think of Krishna and Krishna's wonderful pastimes. The moment our mind comes back to Krishna, that moment the mind becomes satisfied, because the mind belongs to Krishna. And when it runs away from Krishna in some other subject, then it is feeling homeless and dissatisfied. But if the mind can be engaged in thinking of Krishna and feeling devotion in the heart for Krishna, many of its wild plans and desires are no longer necessary to run after. For the human being, there is no better remedy than Krishna Kotha, hearing about Krishna's wonderful and fascinating pastimes. This will help us to develop faith in Krishna. At this moment I remember a very endearing pastime. You know, when Krishna was in the forest of Vrindavan, he would play with his cowherd boy friends many amazing games. And there was one group who heard about Krishna. It were the wives of the Brahmanas who lived in one village which was known as a Brahminical, Brahmin-only village. They would hear regularly accounts of Krishna, how he would miraculously dance on the hoods of Kaliya and subdue Kaliya, how Krishna would play his mind-enchanting flute and rivers became solid and mountains liquid. They heard about this from the people who came to their village to sell them things which they needed for their yagyas. So these women had heard about Krishna many times, and they had only one desire, to one day meet Krishna. They were very pure. They were very beautiful because of their chastity and purity. And they would meet every day and talk about Krishna when their husbands were busy with rituals. And so one time, the cowherd boys came into the village. They had come already earlier to beg some food, but the Brahmins had not even listened to them. They were as arrogant as mountains who look from high up down, but don't speak to you. So these mountain-like puffed up brahmanas didn't speak to the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna when they came to ask in the name of Krishna Balaram for food. But when they returned very dejected and very hungry to Krishna Balaram, they said, no problem, go a second time, but this time go to my devotees, the wives of the brahmanas. So they came and said, come. Krishna and Balarama outside in the forest, they're very hungry and we are also hungry. Can you maybe give us some food? The Brahmin's wife understood Krishna is now nearby the village. They always had wanted to see Krishna. Now this was their opportunity. Now or never. So they said, we won't give you food. We will bring food to Krishna Balaram. You just show us the way. So they packed beautiful prasadam. It was boga. It was meant for the sacrifice of them, of the husbands. It was cooked for the devatas. But they took all this and they put it on plates and they balanced the plates on their heads. And they started to move in a long procession out of the village to meet Krishna and Balaram, the lords of their lives in the forest. When their husbands saw their wives leaving with the food which was meant for the sacrifice, they objected strongly and said, where are you going? And from the way their wives where they were in trance of bhakti, they chanted, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You're not going to see Krishna, no? Krishna, 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 Krishna. They are going to see Krishna, but he is a different man. This is not, he is a cowherd boy. How can the Brahmin ladies associate with a cowherd, a Vaishya? You stop. When the women heard stop, they said, no, we will be going. You cannot stop us. They continued. Then the elders came and said, you must stop, otherwise we will throw you out of the village and you will die in the forest. You will not be accepted back in our society. But they simply said, you have no right to keep us. We belong to Krishna. And they ran and escaped all opposition, and they met Krishna. When they finally saw Krishna, my dear devotees, have you ever thought what it will be if you finally see Krishna? They were not talking. They were not able to continue to walk. They were not able to think anything. They just stopped and gazed at Krishna. They looked very strongly at Krishna with so much love in their eyes and the willingness to surrender. They saw Krishna's beautiful smile and how he was dressed and they just could gaze at him. But then they thought, this is impolite. If a woman looks at a man like this, what will the man think? It is not very pleasant. So they closed their eyes and they saw Krishna in their hearts. And there they embraced him. They couldn't embrace him publicly, but they did it in their hearts. And when Krishna saw his dear devotees, he went to them, he took the plates which they were balancing and put them on the ground. He said, I'm very glad that you have come here. I thank you so very much. But I must inform you that you cannot stay with me. You are a Brahmin ladies. I'm a cowherd boy. If you stay in the forest with me, what will society say? It is not good.
Please return home. The woman looked at Krishna like devotees, and they said, "My dear Lord, our dear Lord, don't be so cruel to us. Please don't send us back to our husbands and wife and husbands and children. We don't belong to them. We belong to you only. If it is not socially acceptable if we are with you so close, then let us just stay in the forest and look from the distance at you and your beautiful smiling face. And we will be satisfied that when you have gone to another forest, we will go to where you have stood, and there we will take the tulsis which have fallen from your tulsi garland, and we will press them to our hearts. That will be sufficient for us." But Krishna said, no, it's not that by close proximity, when you're near, you can attain me. You can attain me only by chanting, hearing about my glories, by chanting my glories, by thinking about me, and by worshipping my deity. Go home. There you can have a deity of me, and so on. But the Brahmanis wouldn't move. I felt like this when I said, "This is the end of the Kirtan Mela." The devotees just looked at me. We will stay here. It's a good place, a good atmosphere. They didn't feel like moving. So they also didn't move. Then Krishna said, "I know you fear that your husbands will kill you when you return or not accept you, but your husbands will worship you. In fact, when you come home, the deities to whom these foods were offered, were to be offered, will come out of the fires and worship you. And as far as our association, whenever you think of me, I will be right there. Just try it now." So the Brahmanis went a little, thought of Krishna, and they saw Krishna behind every tree, behind every plant of Vrindavan. They saw him everywhere, because Krishna, in his mercy, had given them a constant Krishna darshan. So they unwillingly, but they had to follow the Lord, returned home, and their husbands worshipped them and welcomed them and thought, "You are our gurus. We also had a change in mind. We should have gone to Krishna, but we are too afraid that Kamsa's spies will find out that we leave the village to go to Krishna. And then they will report us to Kamsa, and Kamsa will kill us. Whereas you are so courageous that you are leaving all the obstacles behind, even your husbands, and go to Krishna. This is your great devotion, your great bhakti." So I'm thinking about this, that now the Kirtan Mela has ended. I said to Gaura Bhavani that I'm more and more thinking about something in my life. What I'm thinking is, what if it's true that Krishna is his holy name? I mean, and not only in the lecture. I know in the lectures everyone says yes, 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 yes. And I mean outside of the lecture. I mean really true. Anagamachari, think about this. The Krishna is Krishna. What would that mean for you? The Krishna is really there. Gaura Krishna, what would that mean? I think we would change our life if we would believe it. We would have to change the life. Elias,
Krishna, ist der Krishna tatsächlich der heilige Name ist? Mein Gott, das ist ja bombastisch, phänomenal, mega cool. Nicht? Also man muss das ja so ausdrücken. Nicht? Also, krass. Ich kann ein bisschen ein paar deutsche Worte für Teenager oder Beyond Teenager. Nicht? Also das ist wirklich ein Ding. The only thing is, if I would believe it, I would try harder to find out that I know. So I said this morning, I'm thinking more and more, because during the kirtans now, we did sadhu sangha, we were there in many kirtans in America for 3 days. We also, I don't know, we are the Gaur Krishna Bhajan band, people invite us, and so on. And I'm thinking, I'm always saying Krishna's in the holy name, but what if this is true? Wow, this changes everything. Vaishnava, just think about it. What if it is true? Pooh! Then I have to really think new about my life and my design in life. I just read about a person who believed that this is true. Do you know what he did? He did every day 8 hours of kirtan and 16 hours of japa. You made up, but when did he eat and sleep? Who needs to eat and sleep if Krishna is the holy name, if God is there? It's not. That's really a very foolish question. You know, would you go when you stand before God and say, I have to eat something now? No, you would stay and look at him. You would be so captivated that you wouldn't think, no, let me eat a little. Aren't we unfortunate that we are still such greenhorns in our spiritual life? So, and there's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, Lord Chaitanya did not chant and dance under the influence of the material energy. He did so under the influence of the spiritual energy. That means when you are a high Vaishnava, then the chanting will just nourish you so much. I mean, I guess he did take from time to time something to eat, that I also know. He ate, for instance, yes, he was a realized soul. Prabhupada liked him very, very much. It was one of his god brothers. And he would always laugh and sit with him. And well, then he, this great soul, talked a little with Prabhupada. But usually when you asked him, you would ask him a difficult philosophical question, he would just laugh and laugh and laugh, you know, like the Brazilians. You know, throwing the head back, you know, about our mental constructions, you know. he would just go like this. And then he would say, Hare Krishna. A different level, you know. No longer the mind was no longer so prominent. I once heard him laughing. He would always laugh. He was very joyful and so on. We can't imitate this example. It's not that what I'm saying, but I'm only saying, Prabhus, there's life beyond the body and the mind. In fact, it only starts there. Krishna. So it all comes back to this question. What side in your life do you wish to nourish? First of all, where is your heart pulling you? In what direction would you like to develop your life? And then you can ask yourself the question, what side in my life do I wish to nourish so that it becomes stronger? What I also find out, my dear devotees, I can talk now about it. I'm reading regularly, almost regularly. When I was here, I only read twice, but I'm reading every day in the Bhagavatam. And that slowly, after a year or 2 years, I do it now. It opens a new perspective on life. This regular reading is really a very soft method to see deeper spiritual truths. Very soft and very, very nice. Good. This is, how do you like my story of Fritz Monarch? It's a thought-provoking story, isn't it? Like when he asked me that question, I said, how can you dare to ask this question? Of course, God has created all of us. Good, what should we do now, my dear devotees? My firm determination is to end at 6 o'clock, because I need to pack the things and then go. I have to get up early tomorrow to beat the traffic. What should we do? Nandi Murgi, what should we do? Sing one? Yeah, good. Te Rama. Which melody? Rare melody, which we never sing.
Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama,
Nanda Dula,
Nanda Dular.
Nanda Dular, Nanda Dular, Nanda Dular, Nanda Dular, Nanda Dular, Nanda Dular.
Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal, Ketava Madhava Dinagaya.
Fast wie Bread and Breakfast. Hare Krishna.
Wenn du noch zu essen möchtest, ich habe deins dorthin gefällt.
Danke.
Ob du was essen möchtest.
Ich habe gerade eine große Portion genommen, aber ich nehme mir bestimmt was mit. Kennt ihr das, wenn man im Bett aufwacht, dann hat man bei manchen Hotels, ich meine, ich habe das noch nie erlebt, aber... Mahaprasade Govinde,
Mahaprasade Govinde,
Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi,
Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi.
Svalpam punyam vachan rajan,
Svalpam punyam vachan rajan,
Vishvasa eva jayate,
Vishvasa eva jayate,
Sri Krishna Chaitanya,
Sri Krishna Chaitanya,
Prabhu Nitya Nanda,
Prabhu Nitya
Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda
Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Krishna Krishna
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Prasadam ki jai.